Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It's true in life, we will face setbacks and disappointments, and it's equally true that hope gets us through the rough times in life. It's easy to look at setbacks and disappointments as being too large for us to bear, and yet we can face each situation in life with hope, because we are promised that God is faithful and will give us a way of escape so that we can bear with life throws our way. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Sometimes what life throws our way is the result of choices we have made in life, and sometimes what life throws our way is beyond us. What life throws us could be the result of the nation we live in, and it could even be at the hand of God. But whatever life throws our way, God will provide a way of escape. We can look to the account of Gideon, who lived in Israel after Joshua died, and before Israel was established as a kingdom. With vacuum in leadership, the people did what they wanted to do, and collectively as a group, what the people of Israel did was evil in the sight of God. Now, among all those doing evil, there would be the occasional person doing good in the sight of God, but collectively as a whole, it was evil. God punished the people of Israel and had the Midianites effectively take control of the land for 7 years, and that act impacted all who did evil, including the occasional person who did good. The Midianites began to plunder the territory of Israel. Whenever Israel was ready to harvest, they would, along with the Amalekites, destroy the harvest, leaving nothing for the people or the animals. Israel cried to God, and God told them their disobedience was the reason for their current troubles. Judges 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. At about this time, an angel of God came and sat under an oak tree belonging to Joash the Abiezrite in Ophrah. Joash had a son named Gideon, and the angel had a message for him. Gideon was busy trying to hide wheat so the Midianites wouldn't take it, and the angel approached him and called him a mighty man of valor. Think of the imagery and even humor. Gideon is busy trying to hide food from the Midianites so they wouldn't take it, and the angel of God is calling him a mighty man of valor. and telling him that God was with him. People who try to hide themselves or things aren't typically thought of as mighty or a man of valor. Maybe the angel of God was being sarcastic, or maybe the angel of God was speaking to the hope of what was seen for Gideon. And I like to think the angel of God was speaking to the hope of what was seen for him. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abi Ezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon was taken aback being called a mighty man of valor while hiding food, and wanted to know that if God was with him, what happened to all the miracles of the Exodus, and why were they dealing with the Midianites? The angel of God told him he would save Israel from the Midianites, which must have confused Gideon more, because he reminded the angel that of the tribe of Manasseh, his family was poor, and also shared he was the least in his father's house. Gideon was poorer than poor, and couldn't even compare to the other family members. The angel of God gave Gideon hope and told him that God was without doubt with Gideon and would work it out so that Gideon would take care of the Midianites as easily as taking care of one person. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy night, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Moving forward in time to the time of Jesus, we find an account where Jesus is eating with a Pharisee at the Pharisee's house. A woman of the city, a sinner, came to the house to wash the feet of Jesus with an expensive ointment. We don't know how everyone seemed to know that the woman was a sinner. We can only surmise that what she did, regarded as sin, was publicly known. The Pharisee was beside himself that a sinner was at his house, and that Jesus was fine with it, and began to question if Jesus was really a prophet. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus used this encounter to give a lesson on forgiveness, where two debtors owed the creditor money, and one of the debtors owed 10 times what the other owed. Both debts were forgiven by the creditor, and Jesus asked the Pharisee who appreciated the forgiveness more. The Pharisee told him that the person owing more money would have greater appreciation, and Jesus agreed. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Jesus then pivoted to the woman who everyone knew was a sinner, and Jesus contrasted the treatment received from the Pharisee and from this woman. Jesus also acknowledged the woman had many sins and then forgave her sins. Others at the table questioned how Jesus could forgive sins, and to the woman he told her that her faith had saved her and that she should go in peace. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And the woman with Jesus understood she was a sinner, who would be unforgiven by the Pharisees and forgiven by Jesus. She showed Jesus the love. When she washed his feet, the woman was acting in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The hope that we have that embodies faith brings us peace and gives us opportunity to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this type of hope does not make us ashamed. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The hope that we have does not mean our present life is not without hardships. Those hardships, whatever they may be, and however they may be different among all who listen, are nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. Hope, by its definition, implies that we hope for something not yet attained. And for those things not yet attained for which we have hope, we must patiently wait for it. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. When we look at what life throws our way, and we seek a source of hope, we can look no further than the pages of the Bible, where we can find examples of hope like we found with Gideon and the woman who washed the feet of Jesus. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. If we find hope lacking in our life, it could be because of what life is throwing our way. But because we have the Holy Spirit can cause us to abound in hope. It's almost like if hope were a battery and completely drained, the Holy Spirit could come around and recharge our hope battery. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Spirit, we should find ourselves rejoicing in hope and patient when times are tough, never forgetting about the power of prayer. We should also help others in need as we are able and be given the hospitality. We should never allow the tough times of life to bring us to evil, but to overcome evil with good, and that is brought to our life through the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Peter shows that the hope that we have is a living hope, the hope given to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope that we have is a hope of eternal life that will be a time of great rejoicing, even if we now live in a world where life throws many bad things our way. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Everything we do should be done with the hope that we have in mind. Just like in the Old Testament, farmers were not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn to turn it into meal, we should spiritually plow in hope, not being spiritually muzzled. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. As we spiritually plow in hope, we are reminded that farmers always plow in hope. When farmers plow in spring, they hope for a bountiful harvest to come. And when we spiritually plow, we have hope of a bountiful spiritual harvest to come. Isaiah 28, verse 23. Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? For as God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Breadcorn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel, and excellent in working. The hope that we have focuses on eternal life to come, and we must continue in the faith and be settled. The hope that we have is a hope of glory. Glory in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and the glory which will come to each of us at the resurrection. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The book of Psalms speaks of hope. We are told to be of good courage, knowing God will strengthen us if we hope in God. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We are told that God keeps a watchful eye on those who fear him, that hope in his mercy. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. From the Psalms, we can see that David's hope was in God, even when asking to be reminded of his own mortality. He understood that what man would do would be a temporary pursuit as long as man lives, but that for hope beyond what is man, our hope needs to be in God, who can deliver us from our sins. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. We are to love God's law and hate vain thoughts. We know that God is our hiding place and shield, and our hope is in God's word. When others break God's laws, we need to do what God expects, And by doing this, we keep our hope in God real. Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Proverbs reminds us of hope, and we are told that if we fear God, our hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Proverbs also compares honey and the honeycomb to knowledge and wisdom. If we act with knowledge and wisdom in our life as we fear God, our hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Even the book of Lamentations speaks of hope. In Lamentations, we see a clearer picture of the hardships of life, the afflictions and misery that touches all who live at some point. Yet, Lamentations also speaks to the faithfulness of God, who, through his mercies, makes it possible, in the face of the troubles of life, to wait quietly for the salvation of God. Lamentations 3, verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recalled in my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, so the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Ephesians were reminded of their faith in Jesus Christ and how they had love for those in the church. Paul wanted them to have the wisdom and revelation that comes through Jesus Christ so that they could better understand the hope of their calling and what awaits in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. When we look for hope, we look for inspiration, and the Word of God is a great place to find that inspiration, as everything given in the Bible is given by inspiration of God, so that one day we can be part of the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we consider the hope of our calling, even if the kingdom of God seems a far distance away, we can see the lack of hope that so many today have. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What we do, even when less than ideal, shines brightly like a light on a dark night. Through the Holy Spirit, we radiate with spiritual light and truth in a world consumed by spiritual darkness. We will stand out, and all because of the Holy Spirit working within each of us. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Before Moses died, he didn't focus on his death, except what would be needed for Israel to succeed as a nation. He also did not want their journey out of Egypt to be about him, but the mercy of God who brought Israel out from captivity and who would deliver the promised land to them. Moses gave them a final message of hope, to be strong and of good courage, to fear not, nor to be afraid, because God who was with them would continue to be with them, never leaving them and never forsaking them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The hope that we have should lead us to rejoice, to be happy. And Paul reminded the Philippians of this. He reminded them that with the hope we have, that they had no need to be anxious, and that the peace of God would come to them. He encouraged them to think on those things which are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, to focus on those things worthy of virtue and praise, knowing that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Life does have a way of throwing things our way, and hope gives us the ability to remain focused on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.